Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Chamber Chat as Gavin eats pizza as I talk. It's okay, though. I want you to be comfortable and full. I asked Gavin before, we need to mic you up, Gavin? You want to be a part of this? You know, because normally you don't get the chance. And Gavin's like, no, I'm good. Little did we know the reason was because he was going to be knocking some pizza out. Unfortunately, we couldn't find anybody else to co-host tonight. Nobody else wanted to do it. I called. I mean, I'm talking to God. I mean, I went through my whole list of my phone. But Jordan's here.
I am.
Jordan tried to bounce back from, I don't know if this episode has been released yet. Is it the Halloween episode? I'm trying to think. It's an episode where you had probably the worst Mount Rushmore performance. Yeah.
Of all time,
yeah. How do you feel about that? Have you bounced back from that?
I will bounce back eventually.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is your first opportunity co-hosting.
It is.
We got a great guest here, Hueytown Royalty here. We're going to talk to him in a second. And you, are you going to ask a question?
I am going to ask a question.
Okay. All right. So what you're going to see, here's how this works for radio. They can't see this. Would you just want to give me a thumbs up when you're ready to ask a question? Like this right here. That you don't have to look like that when you do it, but you know, just throw a thumbs up. Listen, you cannot be any worse than Cameron, right? We agree with that.
That is very true.
Although right now, Cameron has a better Mount Rushmore performance than I know. She usually draws during the. I know. That's what I'm talking about. But it's great to have Jordan out. And again, thank you so much, Gavin, and thank you, Coach Coyne, and the Hueytown TV and production class at school. They do a fantastic job. They've been a part of it. They're helping. They make, you know, because I'm telling you, it wouldn't happen without them, because Gavin was late this evening for the first time ever in his life. He was late, and I couldn't do anything. You know, all I could do is turn this mic on and talk, but he does a lot of the production work, and we greatly appreciate what they do, and I joke around with them, but trust me, they are very important to this process. With that being said, so glad to have our special guest. And his name is Michael Pickens, City Councilman. Michael, welcome into Chamber Chat.
Thank you.
We've been trying to do this for a while. You know, I've talked to your agent multiple times, and you know, you wanted certain things, like you wanted, you know, peanut butter M&Ms without the peanut butter. You wanted your entourage. They're back here somewhere. We got them taken care of. But it's just so glad to have you on.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. So, Michael, we'll get to City Council, and we'll talk about all that. And what about some political aspirations? Maybe we'll get into that a little bit.
Goodness.
Oh, no. Maybe you'll find some stuff up tonight, guys. Find some stuff out. But Hueytown born and raised?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, Hueytown Golden Gopher?
Yes.
Great.
Class of 93.
Did you play sports or anything?
Yeah, I played baseball for a while. And then when I moved into high school, played tennis.
Okay.
So, that's what I played in high school.
So you didn't play baseball in high school?
No.
Now, baseball.
I played at the park still.
Yeah. Okay.
But then moved to. It's kind of more. If I had a bad day, it was just on me. You know. I love the team sport, but then I liked it. Kind of okay. If I did well, then I did well. If I didn't do well, that was on me.
Well, baseball's probably. What do you think? Would you say Hueytown's probably best sport overall over the years?
Oh yeah. I love football and I didn't play it. Had a lot of friends that did and went through it. But a lot of us were just kind of baseball all the way from when we were. All the way to 18.
So we're pretty much the same age. So you grew up about the same time I did.
Yeah.
And that in that era. So you graduated right when grunge was taking off. Absolutely. Did you have a Nirvana CD?
Oh yeah. Soundgarden.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Probably the best voice ever.
Yeah.
Soundgarden's lead singer.
That's what I love about my dad, though, is he would always listen to whatever I brought in. He would at least give it an attempt.
Really?
You know, so. Bringing in Soundgarden, Pearl Jam,
okay.
You know, Alice in Chains, you know, got that stuff, and then he would actually attempt it. He would listen to it and go, okay, you know,
a much better era for music now.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sorry, then than there is now.
Yes, absolutely.
Although I'm a Swiftie. I do like Taylor Swift, Jordan.
Did you watch the movie?
I have twice.
Didn't it just come out?
Twice. Watch it twice. Don't question me on the air, Jordan. So tennis, I didn't know Hueytown. How were y'all in tennis? Like, were y'all pretty good?
We're actually pretty decent. I mean, we had a really good group. I started again when the high school started in 10th grade.
Yeah.
So before 9th grade got added, so we had 10th, 11th, 12th, and so that was a really good group. Some of those guys I think were ranked in the state. Then just playing up through when I was a senior, just you know top seed, and then you really go see what it's really about though. We would show up at. I remember going to play a tournament. I think it was in Mountain Brook, Liberty Park, somewhere like that. And our coach was like, just play your game. You've got it. You know, just do your thing. And the guy just smoked me. Finished the game, shook my hand, walked out of the court up his backyard to his house that had overlooked the court we were just playing on. And I looked back at my coach like,
you know, what can you do?
She was like, I was just trying to keep you motivated. I really just like, you could play your game. I'm like, no, there was a difference there.
So, well, it's a wealthy sport though.
Yeah.
And it's a sport that you probably, if you're going to really be good and good enough to go to any kind of next level, it's something you got to start at a young age, right?
We did have a guy from Hueytown go pro.
Okay.
Rex Jones.
Rex Jones.
He was a couple years older than me. Was sponsored by Prince at one
time. Decent career.
Now I don't know how far he went into that, but just seeing a hometown guy that was really good at it, and he would come back and he would, you know, work with us. There was an older gentleman, I think he was in his 80s when we were in high school. His name was Leroy McCormick.
Okay, I know that name.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal. He would work with anybody that wanted to show up to the court. Same courts there off of Brook Lane, and he never got out of his warm-up suit, the old wind suits that zip up.
Love a good wind suit.
And he would never break a sweat. And he had us running all over the place. But he could, if you set headbands down in the court, he could hit the headband. I mean, he was accurate, and he would just run us to death and just taught anybody that was willing to listen, anybody wanted to spend time, he would spend time with you. It was really great.
Now, did y'all ever play like when y'all played Over the Mountain Schools? Was there a difference?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like I said, you could tell the guys that literally had a tennis court in the backyard.
It's a cap of sport.
Yeah, so you would get into those or the different kind of courts with clay or that Rubico, kind of the softer courts we weren't really accustomed to because we had our courts here and that's what we had. But everybody was really nice. It was still great to go and see that competition and get involved with that, kind of mix it up with those guys. And we held our own. We were never embarrassed and went home like, oh, my gosh. You know, we might have ones or twos. Lost something, but not as a team. We never got kind of really smoked and just sent home. So I was proud of that.
Did you think about doing it in college? Were you that good?
No.
Wasn't that good?
I was ranked, but not enough to be that. Yeah. I actually went to college on a vocal scholarship. If you can believe it.
Okay, so were you in the choir?
Yeah. So I played band. I was a drummer, percussionist, all through, you know, seventh grade all the way through, and then somewhere. I want to say almost my senior year, I decided to sing as well. And so got in there, and the choir director, Larry Harden, a phenomenal guy, he was also the head of the Jeff State Singers.
Okay. All right.
So he said, you need to try it. If you don't know what you're going to do yet, you need to come try out because it's a full ride. And so I went and tried out, got it. And so I was in the Jeff State Singers. We were kind of a PR arm of the college. So they would send us to the people that were donating money to the college, and we would sing and dance for other money. You know,
okay, so kinda like, were you kind of like,
you know, it's kind of like, yeah, you know,
donating. Jordan, don't get any ideas here. were you kind of in a glee club type kind of thing? And if so, was it like the TV show?
No, it wasn't near like that. It was more chamber choir. Yeah. And then any kind of dancing was more of just a box step off of a riser there. It wasn't really, we were not really putting on a lot of productions.
Now, I'm pretty sure the Jeff State Singers had a lot of fans.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. A lot of female admirers. Jeff State groupies.
the songs that they chose, you know, is not really flattering. You know,
I'm sure.
in your tux and cummerbund trying to, you know.
So when you went to Jeff State, you graduated, did you go 4 years? Did you stop at two?
No, so I went to two there, or actually three, a state extra year for a girl. And
there you go. Now, is this the girl that you ended up marrying?
I did. I actually have a longer story that I don't know that you really know.
I don't. So here we go.
But yeah, so I stayed there an extra year because there was a girl that showed up there, and then followed her. We went to UAB to finish up.
Okay.
And so I wound up having a degree in MIS, so Management Information Systems.
Sure.
So it's a mix between business and computer nerd. I wasn't good enough at math to do full computer science. I couldn't program. I didn't like to do that part.
Yeah.
But I liked understanding business and understanding how technology can help your business.
It's the best of both worlds.
And so it was really the best of both worlds. I really loved that. That was right when UAB started that program. So we were the first graduating class.
And kind of in that technology and computers were starting to become more and more part of daily life.
Yeah. So like the first job out was actually as a webmaster. So I was a webmaster for a large company.
That sounds like a good, pretty good career.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, got to cut my teeth at Bell South and their like advanced technology group, getting to build some pretty cool things, you know, and see some technology before it happened. Like when you're on the backbone of the internet, and nowadays everything's like, oh, I've got
it's instant
so and so gig.
Yeah.
back then, when you were at home,
dial up.
It took you a day to download something, and I was at a place where it was like I could do it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And
see, the young generation is with us tonight, Jordan, Gavin. They would never understand that how difficult it was. I mean, your phone right now is probably is much better than the computers that were more powerful than the computer you had. I mean, as a kid, we got like a Tandy computer for Christmas, and I thought it was the greatest thing because I could play Pac-Man on it. I mean, I'm telling you, the difference in technology, it's good astonishing.
Commodore 64.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, really. I mean, I remember playing the Atari. Jordan, you're playing Atari?
I've not.
You haven't lived until you played Pitfall. Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
Pitfall is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I beat the game and got the patch. It is mailing in, and I got a patch. I still have it somewhere at my house. I'm gonna bring it a little show and tell, maybe Saturday.
Yeah. So I've been in technology my whole life. That's kind of what I do for my main living. You know.
Well, I think you picked a good time to get into it too, because the world was going into that.
And it really, I mean, what I like to do is help people understand how it can help. It's not so much as getting in the weeds and you know, like my dad has a degree in computer science. And so he loves that. It's like a journey from here to there and programmatically, how do we get there?
Yeah.
I can't sit in a cave in the dark with a Red Bull and just, that's not me. I want to be out in front of somebody talking to them. You know, really kind of understand what are they trying to accomplish and then how does technology help them do that?
Yeah.
You know, so I like the front side of that a lot better.
So let's talk about your family.
Yeah.
And you're married. I happen to know your wife. Now, you said you didn't follow her to UAB.
I did not.
Okay. So
she's six years younger than me. So that story picks up a lot further down the road.
I would hope so. Yeah. You know, within that time frame, it's probably not the best. So
No. So I was actually, so the girl I was dating in college, we graduated in 99. In March of 2000, got married, and 2 months later, she was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So it was AML. Yeah. And so we spent our first year of marriage at MD Anderson Cancer Center.
Wow.
Kind of living a totally different life. So it was one of those of, you kind of think you're going to go one way, you know, and God has other plans.
Sure.
And just says, you know, well, what about this?
Yeah.
You know, you kind of think you know. So really an incredible journey. She was incredible woman, just really taught me a lot about how to take on things with the right attitude and kind of not let everything get you down.
I bet it taught you perspective for sure.
Oh, I have so much more perspective. It's all small. That's why, and that's what I love about my wife now, Tammy, like, because she is such a great, she rides a great roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah.
It can be the best thing in the world and the worst thing in the world. Because I kind of lost that in the juggle of dealing with that situation, that I just stayed really middle.
Yeah,
I tried to not get too high about anything and not get too low, because you can't live in that world when you're dealing with that. You can't celebrate too many wins because you knew a low may be coming
right around the corner.
I'll just hit the fan.
So you hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Right. Yeah. So she passed away in July of 2001.
Sorry to hear that.
And so it was, you know, I was 26, she was 25.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being, you know, so I had just accepted my first job, you know, out of college. And then 2 months later, I'm having to text the guy and say, hey, you know, this is what's happening. He was a great guy. He just said, you know, you don't worry about work. You take care of your wife. So then we're off to St. Vincent's for a little while and then MD Anderson and even flew out to Duke to try to find somebody when they were saying there wasn't, you know, what they were doing wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting back in and the dust settling and trying to kind of come back. I came back home. We had bought a house somewhere else and so just wanting to come back home and kind of get grounded. And my sister was actually really good friends with Tammy, my wife now, and said, hey, I want to go see Tammy. She's playing softball at Sanford. And so she had a full ride. She's way better at ball than I was. And so she's playing and wanted to go see her. And so I went with her and we just kind of, you know, hit the ground running from there. We already, you know, had a connection from before and it just,
you know. So you knew Tammy before?
Yeah, I knew Tammy before. Yeah. So it was just really easy to, you know, God just kind of, things happen for a reason. And I think, you know, I kind of already had that connection with her I didn't have to get past anything. I didn't have to lose any baggage. It was like, you know, I'll take you as you are and learn how to, you know, how to navigate this stuff with, you know, with all this, you know, all the things that I had had going on.
Do you think it was something like that you needed her at that
absolutely.
Time?
I mean,
you
like
needed
I,
something.
I was not, I could not have functioned without somebody like Tammy in the beginning, because it was like, that was when ER was still on. So like, I couldn't watch an episode of ER, and when somebody flatlined, then all of a sudden I'm grabbing a cup and chewing some ice so I don't cry, you know, or something, you know.
I mean, I can imagine.
What was that? I can only imagine. I couldn't hear that on the radio. I just started crying. I was playing basketball at a gym with just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
And then it was at Gardendale First Baptist.
Yeah.
And
I played there.
And that song comes on, and I'm on the court, and I was sort of like, I got to go, guys. And I just had to walk off.
Wow.
You know, so it's just one of those things where something would trigger you. And so having somebody, you know, with a very strong and compassionate personality like Tammy really kept you, you know, it was amazing to have her there during that kind of learning, kind of how to love again, how to live. She kind of taught me like you got to stop being in the middle. You got to start enjoying the highs. You got to start, you know, dealing with the lows. And it really kind of brought me out of that. You know, really, really blessed.
Well, I mean, there's good days, there's bad days.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, we actually on a previous episode that's aired, because we were celebrating breast cancer, mm-hmm. And we had a young lady on. And she talked about her faith and how she was able to beat it. But she said something I thought that was just fascinating, and I've never thought about it. And she said, you know, once you realize you're going to beat it one way or the other, you're either going to beat it here or you're going to beat it because you're going to be in heaven.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to, you know.
And I saw her say that to a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, you don't worry about the outcome. You just do your job. I'm going to be healed one way or the other.
Yeah. And that's a great perspective. Or, yeah.
And so that really, that's what I try to instill, and that's what we both try to instill in our kids and in our family, of like, you have to have that. I mean, you know, it's kind of a Jeremiah 29:11 is like, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But the next part of that is like, you'll know these things if you seek me with all your heart.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, he knows. Well, it's like, no, do you know what his plan is? And was I even following his plan? Did I think I had it all figured out? And God had something totally different, you know, and there's so many more people now that I've been able to talk to that have gone through these situations, that are dealing with that type of sickness, that are just, even just people that were, hey, I've got to go to MD Anderson. I was like, I've been there before. Let me tell you about it. So it wasn't the fear factor. I could help take it away a little bit and just tell them, hey, it's a great place, you know, but they handle their business. Like, you're going to go in and they're going to act like you've never been to a doctor. They're going to start from scratch. They're going to make you feel like they're going to do everything they can.
Yeah.
Just to take some of that anxiety away, you know, I wouldn't trade that to be able to, you know, what it taught me and how I've been able to affect other people's lives. And that's what she would have wanted. Like, you know, she just wants other people to understand that there was more for their life.
Well, you've been able to take, with Tammy's help, take a huge negative.
Oh, yeah.
And something that nobody that young should have to go through, or nobody should have to go through, period.
Yeah.
But you've been able to take that and turn into a positive by helping other people, because, you know, and I think I said this on that episode, was at some point in time, either you or your family, you're going to get some bad news, mm-hmm. or a friend.
Yeah.
And when you get that news, it's got to be one of those things where it's just crushing, because the first thing you think is, I'm sure you're thinking, okay, God, I'm going to die in 2 days. I'm going to die in a week. And that death scares you. But the perspective is, one way or the other, you're going to beat it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you look at it like that, it changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you a strength.
Yeah.
And a perspective that we need a lot more of.
Because you can't control it.
Right.
You know, ultimately, it's just, you know, sometimes in life, the deck is stacked a certain way. And, you know.
It's like tomorrow has enough worries of its own.
Sure.
It really is take today for today. You know, live for today, love for today. You know, like, just be present in what's happening here and not so worried about what's going to happen here or what has happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shake that off and let's make the most out of what you're given today.
Every night I thank the Lord that I had another opportunity.
Yeah.
And when I wake up in the morning, I'm using my Peloton because I like to stay in shape, Gavin. I do. Seriously, I thank and go, you know, thank you for this opportunity, because it's not promised. It's not guaranteed. Yeah. When I pray, I always try to keep that in mind, that, you know, if I wake up tomorrow, it's a battle won.
Yeah.
I'm one up.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever else happens doesn't matter. It's all, you know, and I think that perspective that you have, we all need more of that. Unfortunately, we don't need to go through what you went through.
Right.
But we all need that perspective.
Well, that's what's so awesome about Tammy is I joke and say she's got such a big heart, she'll give you the shirt off my back. And and she is, she loves big, she thinks big, she wants others to enjoy life, and she wants to help others kind of find that joy. And so, yeah, just one, bringing me out of that, but then showing me what's all possible, it's been really cool, because it you know, with everything we do, we burn the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
You know, with kids and with sports and
never a time to stop or catch your breath.
No. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, I don't want to just, you know, sit and sulk or know, grow mold. It's like, we've got something to do. We've got somebody we can impact. We've got some way we can help.
You can you can make a difference.
Yeah.
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 Tammy's going to really like this episode, Jordan.
She is indeed.
I think she's going to, we might call this episode Tammy. Now, nobody wants to talk about politics, but I think it's important that we talk about, because not all politicians are out to get rich.
No.
Not all politicians are out to just help themselves. There's some good people out there, some good politicians. And again, if you watch Fox, CNN, whatever your slant is, the same thing's going to be the same. You're going to hear about all the fighting, the city council in Hueytown, y'all done a lot of good things. There's a lot of y'all have a lot of money now, from what I understand, that y'all didn't have several years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great for me, because I've gotten to see both sides of it, and just honestly feel like I was part of the problem. Is kind of a harsh word, but part of the, I'll explain what I mean by that. When I got in here, you'll love this kind of story, is like, the person that was in my district was going to run for mayor.
Okay.
Just keep all the names out.
Sure. We want to protect the innocent.
But she was going to run for mayor, and then so her seat was open, and it was really before I even decided to run, my mom had worked for one of the previous mayors.
Okay.
And literally I was back in town. It's kind of, you know, the dust was settling. I bought a house. You know, it was kind of getting settled, and doing all of this and kind of getting back into, you know, to Hueytown. And she calls and says, "Hey, I left my purse at home. Would you run to my house and get my purse and bring it up to City Hall?" So they were having pre-council meeting.
Oh, okay.
So the previous council was all around. I'm walking in, it's kind of just trying to stay quiet. And one council member looks at another council member and says, "If you vote for that, I'll crucify you in the papers."
Really?
And I go, crucify.
Wow. Like,
that's a strong word, you know.
You know, they understand what that means, right? That's not a good thing.
And I just looked around, and I just kind of shook my head, you know.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to talk to you later. And told my mom, I was like, I'll talk to you later. Went home, and then told Tammy, I was like, I'm going to run for city council. I was like, I don't think I could do any worse, you know.
you're not going to say the word crucify. Anybody, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so really just got inspired to go, hey, you know, if I'm going to live here, let's try to make it a place worth staying. Let's try to see what we can do. This is there's no kids, you know, it's, and just really was like, hey, if we're going to be here, let's try to do something. The lady I ran against was great. Like, we had gone to church together. So like, our town hall debate was, she's really nice. We've played tennis together. And then hers was like, he seems to be really nice. My kids go over there from the youth group at church. And, you know, so it was very, you know, but just one, and then have been in ever since. And where I was going with your earlier question about money and doing all that is, like, when we got in, it changed over. It was, you know, all new council, new mayor. It was all kind of new, and we were figuring things out. And I think we got complacent of, like, no news is good news.
Sure.
But sometimes no news is no news.
It's basically, right? you're running in place.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of settled into, well, nobody's complaining, so that must be a good thing. Rather than thinking, what do we need to be doing?
For the future.
Right. No. So I feel, take my responsibility of that, is I don't feel like we pushed in those early years to go, what are we doing to move the city forward? And I think we're paying a little bit of a price for that. When you've seen things change and you've seen things not be at the level that you want them to be, and invest in the city the way we needed to. Now, again, we didn't have the money that we did. Things were not well. We were kind of keeping the boat afloat, so I think we were hoping that no news was good news. But when we got, you know, Mayor Ware, we got this new group in, there really became more of a focus of like, we need to be doing something. We need to be moving forward. And I know it does. It seems like I'm on a Tammy parade, but behind the scenes of her pushing me to going, hey, you need to be doing something.
Yeah.
Don't just occupy a spot. And so trying to go, what are we going to do next? How can we, you know, and so I did, I ran, and then Tammy bought me the first ever iPod, and it was for my birthday, because my birthday's actually on the 18th of October.
And, well, happy birthday.
Yeah, so it'll be tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
And so she bought me an iPod, and it was right, and waited for the election that was happening. It was either going to be a, hey, you won, or sorry, you lost.
Yeah.
But like, here's an iPod. You know, she was like going to either like celebrate the win or like just try to, you know, diffuse it and do that. So we got in, and then it's just been trying to do what we can now. I really enjoy this second half of this, of seeing what we can do now that we've gotten a lot more financially stable, now that we're making a lot better decisions. I've kind of got a good how to bite the elephant a bite at a time, and spread the love around how to reinvest in the city better. This has been these last two terms have been really, really fun to be a part of and to see where we're going.
You know, you said you're talking about running a play stagnant. I think some people complain sometimes, and it's justified. Like, for example, you know, once you're a Supreme Court justice, you can be a Supreme Court justice until you're 130 years old.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. That's not good. And so, do you think there should be terms as far as politicians go, or do you think it's okay in city council, mayor, you know, whatever?
Yeah, definitely at the federal level.
Yeah,
I do.
Think should be some limits.
All over needs to be
sure
limits. I don't mind there being term limits at the city level if there are people that are willing to serve. Like, it's like this last time. Almost got me in a lot of trouble with Miss Tammy, because I did not tell her I was going to run again.
Oh, okay.
And we had decided that I wasn't.
Oh.
Or we had talked about not, and I think because I had not said I was, then the default was I wasn't.
Okay.
And then what I was seeing online
of who was running
was really, it was just kind of a keyboard cowboy situations of things on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nobody actually serving. Like, if somebody had been here and been coming to city council, had been on boards and been active and seeing them every day, I'd go, you know what? You know, I feel like it's the right time, because somebody's
ready to go.
Somebody's ready to go. They're wanting to do it. It's kind of time for me. But I didn't see that. And so I was supposed to pull out of my street and turn towards the interstate, and I turned towards City Hall and signed up and actually didn't tell her, forgot to tell her.
Wow.
So, like, right at the end of the deadline or something was happening, and a lot of stuff was kind of firing up on Facebook, and Tammy goes, babe, I think I you're going to wind up needing to run, probably. I was like, well, I actually already signed
up. Let her know,
But I called it, because I did not, you know, usually we talk about those things.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, you know, and they're great people. There's nothing wrong with the people, like even the people that ran against me had ideas that they wanted.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see in any of those other people that had run a real, like, you haven't been here. Like, be in the meetings. Like, join. We have tons of opportunities to serve in the city, tons of boards to be a way to get involved.
Yeah.
And if I see anybody doing that, I want to celebrate. I want people to do that. I would love to not, you know, to be able to pass a torch on to somebody else and go, hey, man, take this to the next level. Maybe I've run as far as I can run it, and I need a new set of ideas and fresh set of eyes and support them. It's not, like you said, it's not about me. It's about making this city a place worth staying. That's still the goal, is make Hueytown a place worth people wanting to invest in. Like these guys here, you know, I want my son to want to come back and
to live here, to stick around
and to invest in here. Like, you know, I think, you know, you may have some of the other guys, the firefighters you've talked to before, you know, those guys, they want to see that. I see in our people now, they want to find people that want to be here, and I want to invest in that any way we can.
And I'll say this, I've been to several city council meetings, and it's not easy. I mean, y'all have to deal with some anger sometimes. It's not always everybody's just happy, and it's not your fault, but they're definitely killing the messenger, and you have to deal with that sometimes. What is the most difficult situation you think you've ever had as a city councilman? You have to mention names.
No. Yeah. It's making some of those hard decisions, like where we had and gosh, this is, I can't believe I'm bringing up one of these sore subjects that I had run through, was the combining of the football program. So we had the football program that was at MLK.
Jaguars and we had Golden Bears.
Bears, like there. And so the Park and Rec, I think, had decided to merge those. Mm-hmm. Well, then it all came to a head here with us.
Yeah.
And I don't think it got sat down and talked through like it needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think cooler heads would have prevailed if everybody had gotten in a room. It kind of was all happening conversations here, and getting forced one way or another.
Yeah.
But it all ended up at our doorstep, and everybody thinking that we made the full call.
The messenger.
And it's like, no, we've appointed a board. They're autonomous. Like, they make their own rules.
Yeah.
And if they decide, you know, it's like, it's not a where Hoover had to split off and make Spain Park. We're not that size. Like, Hueytown is not so big that it needed two football programs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why, you know, and I get the idea.
Yeah.
But it really hurt the group that was already there and established, and it hurt the other group that was getting merged into. So, like, people, there were a lot of parents that are volunteers and blood, sweat, and tears into developing children that didn't get thought of, and a lot of it got lost in the fray on both sides. So I think it could have come off a lot better than it did. But just, yeah, we were not even involved. We were just...
But you're there.
But we're here,
yeah.
And our name's on it. I mean, we get calls in the middle of the night. People, you know, my neighbor's tree is dripping on my Buick, and what can you do about it? And and it's the dollar per hour for what you actually make.
It's,
you know, it's probably $1.35 per hour to for the phone calls and whatnot. But, I mean, I love it. I mean, it's sometimes people just want to know that they're being heard, and that you know, I do care, you know, so try to help them the best I can, point out where they can.
I enjoy it. I don't get to come as much, because a lot of time I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I work in Trustful now, so I don't always get back at the corporate office. But I have one city. My first city council meeting I ever went to, I had to cover it for school. It was for a writing for the media class at Jeff State. And it was the particular meeting, and I didn't know this was happening. So I just showed up because we all had to go to a city. We had to cover it. That was part of one of your projects. You had to write a story about it, interview some people. So I remember, like it was yesterday, it was the night they banned smoking from the parks.
Yeah.
Wow. There was TV coverage here. People were screaming. I mean, it was chaos. And, you know, in the course of city council, they're nice until a point, but eventually they're human too. And so if you just keep screaming at them, eventually they're going to kind of, you know, it's hard for you just to keep taking it, you know. And so it was a very aggressive meeting on both sides.
Yeah.
But it was great to cover.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But even then, young, I was like, I had a, there was a sense of, you know, the city council, people that are in politics, you know, they're trying to do right for the city. Now, listen, there might have been some, I knew a couple people on there, so there might have been some reasons they were on there for maybe not the right reason. But ultimately, you know, when it comes to something like that, that's better for the whole world to stop smoking at parks.
Right.
But the people that liked it couldn't get past. It was just a really crazy night.
That's what I love about our group, though, is that we can disagree on things, and we have, definitely.
Sure. Yeah.
But we try to go out front, a united front, you know, as best we can.
There's, and you
not,
need to.
Not everything's always unanimous, and you've got to vote what you believe in. But the conversations around it, even when it's negative, has been a lot more, you know, amiable. You know, to just know that everybody, like, their heart's in the right place. They just think it needs to get accomplished this way, and you think it needs to get to be accomplished this way.
Yeah.
And how do you, you know, how do you get as close to that as possible?
You don't always have to agree
right
on everything, you know?
I think that, not to give the younger guys a hard time, but it's not a, and I can't believe I just used the word younger guys. I'm getting there, so I'll be 49. So
there you go.
Last ride in the 40s.
These little whippersnappers that are in here right now.
But it's like, it's not this day and age where when you take somebody down and they respawn in 10 seconds. Like, in the real world, it's not like that.
Yeah,
like,
no.
It just because we don't agree doesn't mean that you don't need to exist and everybody around you doesn't need to exist anymore. You've got to be able to have those hard conversations, actual conversations. And I've not, you know, even though I've known Gavin a little while, I've not walked in his shoes.
No.
I've not walked in his family's shoes. I've not walked into your shoes or yours, right?
Yeah.
And so trying to, that compassion for somebody and that willingness to go, you know, what, it's almost like, was it racist or was it ignorance? You know, really.
Sure. It's a good question.
Were you just being you know.
Yeah.
Were you really just ignorant? Maybe. Maybe you just didn't know. And somebody had to take the time to go, hey, that was ignorant.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's really going on.
Well, it's a teaching moment.
Yeah.
And there's also accountability here.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that when I go to one of the things I think sometimes when I go to city council meetings, the most difficult is usually comes down to property issues. People with homes that are not in the best shape, or they own them, and you're like, well, we gave you 90 days notice, we gave you all this, but they want more and they can't understand it. And what y'all are doing is, listen, we want our city to look good. We want, you know, we don't need this. We've given you every opportunity. But y'all seem to always go, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you 30 more days.
Yeah.
So y'all are doing your part.
It's trying. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I just want people to want this place to be a place to live in.
Sure.
It's really, it's like, I'm not asking you to, you know, your grass can only be this high. And, you know, you must only plant this type of tree. And it's not that.
Yeah.
It is really just take pride in where we are. There's so many people, and I'll call them that again. I'll say it all day long. People that just say something on Facebook are just a bunch of keyboard cowboys.
Sure.
And I can't stand that. If that's all the guts that you've got is to just either anonymously or just across a keyboard, oh, this is going downhill. Oh, this is this. This is this. And you're not doing something to try to make a difference other than run your mouth. Like, get involved. There now with the chamber and now with the Arts Council and, and even now with the Park and Rec Board, like all of these boards are I think it all stepped up in the last, you know, couple of years through these last two terms of really getting people on there that want to make a difference and don't just want to say, well, this is the way it's always been. Oh, we've always done it like this. And to try something like this, try it. If it works, keep rolling. If it doesn't, pivot.
Yeah.
But you can't say there's not things to do in the city now. You can't say, you know, we don't have anything. We're getting things. We're doing things. What are you doing to support that? Are you going to the fall festival? Are you going to the arts show? Yeah. Are you going to this and that? Are you supporting these things that were, you know, the dinner things, the movies in the park, the you know, the pet show? I mean, everything that we've had recently, you know, are you stepping up and investing in it as well, just with your time? Just go by. Maybe you don't have to buy anything, but at least be a part of it. Go see what's going on rather than just, we don't have anything. If you say that we don't have anything right now, it's an ignorant statement, because there's a lot of people that are putting a lot of work into trying to make opportunities here. You know,
the question is, are you a part of the problem? Are you a part of the solution?
Right.
And I can only speak for the chamber board, which I'm a part of. I was talking to a friend of mine that lives in Homewood, and he was asking me, hey, I got a crawfish bowl going this Saturday. I said, well, I got an MC, got a host. He said, well, you're always doing something. I said, well, you know, the chamber's active. You know, Homewood doesn't have near the stuff going on. Hueytown, the chamber has something. I'm booked at least once a month on stage somewhere. Yeah. Last week was, we had the cancer brunch.
Yeah.
You know, we've got all these things that come up. So trust me, there's
things. I'm glad
you said
that. I pick up the stuff that's outside in the hall.
Well, I did that because I wanted to remind you.
Well, I really decorated a couple of tables and then forgot to.
That's what I do here. You know, I mean, that's what I do.
The only things that Hueytown doesn't have, the city of Hueytown doesn't have, is interstate frontage.
Sure.
I mean, that's really.
And
like,
because
it's a lot of the excuse of, well, you got to get past some of the stuff to get to us.
Yeah.
And so it kind of negatively impacts, you know, what's going on. Where if you had interstate frontage,
you could have restaurants,
hotels,
you could have a Cracker Barrel,
right?
You could have a Buffalo, you know. And unfortunately, you can't put a Cracker Barrel in the middle of a town,
right?
That does, you know. So these things, you know, that's right.
And even got to be far enough, a certain amount of distance away, to even get the little blue sign on the interstate to say that you've got food.
Sure.
A certain distance down the road, they don't want to even. I think what's the close one? Maybe even Zaxby's. They don't even want to put a blue sign saying Zaxby's is down,
because you're going to drive. You know, you're going to drive 4 or 5 miles.
Well, no, you still need to. You know, we need to find a way to advertise all the food and the things
that
are over here,
just
to, that it might catch somebody's eye to get in there and generate. So,
final question.
Oh boy!
Before we do 5 questions.
Yeah.
Not the same thing, Jordan. Don't look at me like I've lost my mind. Great job as a co-host, by the way. You've been on fire tonight.
I really have. Thank
you. Thank you very much for participating. Mayor Ware is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he's he's a great mayor, but he's a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Known him for a long time, even though he tries to get me to say those words sometimes that start with the R and a T, and I won't do it. Let's just say he decides that he's just not going to run and he finally hangs it up. Is there any political aspirations for Michael Pickens that's going to take him above city council?
No.
No, this there's is where
really
you're
not.
Stopping.
There's really not. I hate to say it. It does. I've got to pay the bills, and the job I'm in now just
wouldn't allow you the time.
Too much of a requirement, time requirement to be able to do that. It would be interesting. I think Steve's done a great job.
Fantastic job.
He's in a job that allows him the ability to kind of, you know, be present in things that I wouldn't be able to do. I've been asked that all the time, at least every time we get to signing up, if I'm going to run. And just to clear it up, I don't intend to. I used to joke that there was a guy that used to always perpetually run, and it was like, if that's the only guy that signs up for mayor, then I will be morally obligated to run.
Sure.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
I'm going to see if I can guess it off the air, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you off the air.
All right.
But it's one of those things of like, you really have to assess what's happening there.
Yeah.
And if it was only somebody that you, like, I've never seen them invest in the city, I've never seen them try to make a difference, you know, and you don't understand the why behind it.
Yeah.
I would rather have somebody that at least to go, hey, I know I'm going to be stretched, but I want to give that a go rather than let it fall into somebody that you just don't know where they are really with the city.
So we're leaving a small crack.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance.
There's a small door open.
It is 99%. 99.9%. I would not.
But it's that 0.1 that always gets you. That's that 0.1.
I just, you know. No, I love the city too much to see it fall into, and I'm not that I'm the right hands, but into someone that doesn't care. I mean, we've been coaching baseball and coaching basketball and coaching soccer. My wife coached a softball team. We don't even have any girls.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, seriously, the summer of Tammy where she was, you know, playing on a couple of different teams and coaching a team. And it's just, I love that part. That's where I love doing that and seeing the kids grow now that mine are kind of getting out of that where we're not coaching anymore. They're moving on. One's in college and one's in middle school. So, but still trying to find a way to make the ones that are still there, give them the opportunities and support the people that are. We just need more people to want to do that, more dads and moms and wanting to get out there and serve. And it's our job at the city to try to find a way how to get them the tools that we can to help them be successful.
Senator Michael Pickens. It's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty good gig.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially with the government shutdown coming. Probably get 2 months.
I can't compromise my soul to get something passed.
You're going to have to. And you're going to compromise your soul because, and here's the thing, it's not even compromise your soul. Even if it's the right thing to do, you can't go against your party. That's the problem.
The deals that you have to make to just get simple things passed. Yeah. I want to be able that if you could teach it in a history class in the school, they need to be able to understand. Or like I've got an eighth grader. Yeah. So if I could explain what's happening to an eighth grader, but the level of complexity that they add and you have to have way too much compromise of your beliefs to get something passed. It's just frustrating. If it didn't, I would love to have thought about doing that. I would love to be able to impact this, you know, state and this nation in a better way. But I can't be able, you know, my dad was a firefighter.
Sure.
And so even when I got here, he said, I hate politicians. He said, don't make me hate my own son. and so I had to go back for a gut check. You know, do you still like me? You know, I can't go somewhere else and be able to not come home because they don't feel like I'm, you know, I've had to compromise.
Got to look in the mirror, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's another show. We could do an entire show on my belief in politics. It's so funny. I used to get up every morning and I would watch as I'm getting ready and eating breakfast and come back from the gym. I watch SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Now I'm flipping back between Fox, CNN, and MSNBC depending on what they're talking about. I've changed my whole. I'm so into politics now about it, and I can't. It's like a train wreck. I can't turn away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just and it's a mess. But I can't.
There's so much.
I can't turn away.
Yeah.
But like again, another show, another time. We're real quick. We're going to play five questions because this has been a great show. We've went a little longer than normal. Gavin keeps throwing signs up, going, Jamie, stop talking.
Sorry,
you're talking to. No, it's my fault. Hey, I'm leading the show here, but it's really been good. So this has just come up to me because of your earlier in the interview. Tennis, favorite tennis player of all time,
Andre Agassi.
Okay, now his personality seems a little different back in the day than yours. You seem a lot more cool, laid back.
So that's because of the, I guess, PTSD from that before.
Yeah.
If you were all the people that may listen to this that knew me in high school,
yeah, You were Andre Agassi.
I was like, well, the
image is everything.
Image, will say yeah. like most unpredictable.
Oh,
like I was
okay.
the class clown.
Okay.
I was the one that went for the laugh.
All right.
You know, it was that I was, you know, using conduct, talks inappropriately, waste time. Four, it's U 4, 5 for all the teachers, the elementary teachers. And then just when I got to high school, realized I needed to, I've got to figure out something. What am I going to do? And then kind of turn that into, okay, I've got to actually, I got to grow up and make some decisions here. So yeah, so now I'm a lot more, I overanalyze, analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
I think too much.
But Agassi was the guy.
Agassi was the dude. I could.
For me, it was McEnroe.
I liked him.
Always has been. I just love the way he would yell at people. Yeah. He was so intense. Probably not the best role model, but I just liked his tenacity,
yeah.
if you will. Jordan, you have a question?
I do have a question, actually.
Okay. Well, let me just go. This is great. Because I've been waiting for about 45 minutes for you to have a question. So I'm excited, so fired up, Jordan, to hear what you have to say. It does take 45 minutes, you're right.
Yeah, so earlier y'all mentioned, you know, the ancient Atari and mentioned...
Well, what else? Whoa. We didn't call anything ancient. We just said we liked Atari.
And you mentioned the game Pitfall.
Yeah, Pitfall's great, yeah.
So would you, like, with the new development of, like, PS5 and stuff, like, would you rather have, like... 4K 60 FPS with like story modes and like
oh wow
and like cutscenes or
no I hate cutscenes
what
I just I'm sorry and I'll have friends that'll just tear me up over this is I don't like I love Call of Duty but I don't necessarily care about the story I was more of a guy that just jumped into multiplayer mode and just wanted to team deathmatch and play
okay
then I did want to run through. You know, whatever. And so sometimes if I played the campaign where you would go through the story and kind of learn where the guy came from and what was happening and what you're doing, it would be different. But no, and so Pitfall is just very straightforward.
Well, it was 1980.
But Pitfall in 4K would be cool if
yeah,
you updated.
Sure.
It's the same concept of getting through the forest with tar pits and alligators and
yeah.
whatever you could.
No.
It's like a... it's like a straightforward version of Frogger, where Frogger, you're going across all the things. Pitfall, you had to go somewhere
yeah.
and battle all these things to get there. So you could make that a pretty good game. And
you could adjust it. I think for me, I like most video games now, and I play PlayStation. I like sports games.
Yeah,
I mean that's what I like. But I did get into one of the few storyboard games I got into. I got Game of Thrones
mm-hmm.
when it first came out. The video game, and it was actually, but it takes forever, and you get so involved.
I can't do that.
You know, I just like hey, give me Madden any day of the week.
It's
NCAA college football.
I'm an Xbox guy.
Okay, you're the one of the two. Yeah,
I mean, we were, you know, like I said, that first job or one of the first jobs when the boss would leave.
Yeah,
then this was my first experience. They'd say, "Hey, he's gone." And then they would open these drawers up, and they had their original Xboxes, and they were modding them, like soldering things on there where you had every game.
That's great.
On the Xbox, and we would just play. And then we had the Xbox 360. We would bring them at night and plug them into the network at work and have these, you know, everybody had
little tournaments.
We were in the conference rooms all playing Halo, you know, against each
other. Sounds like a fun job. Like
that. Yeah, it was really cool.
Something that you will not eat if it's on a table at either a family reunion, holiday, what's that one thing that's always there that you're just not going to eat?
Potato salad.
Really?
I'm such a picky eater.
Potato salad was fantastic.
I had my first salad when I was 24.
Your first, like, what?
Yeah. And it's just now, even today, it is.
What do you like to eat?
It's lettuce, baby spinach, and cheese. Grated cheese. No
wow.
dressing.
So you don't eat a lot of
like
stuff?
I have it. Like, no. It's I'm a very cheeseburger plain.
Okay.
No
salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, just kind of roll it into the ketchup.
Never mind.
So you don't like basic pizza?
No,
like
I mean, like chocolate pie and peanut butter pie is great, but like I don't eat apple pies and cobblers. And,
okay,
wow. You know all this stuff. I mean, my wife just is so frustrated because she and my younger one Landon loves like they'll try stuff. They're
I'm kind of that way.
You know, give it a try; it's really good. But me and my older son John Michael both
say you're just gonna basic.
Yeah.
Give me the chicken fingers.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Okay. All right. You have another question, Jordan?
I had one.
Okay.
I forgot what it was.
Well, here's the thing about...
I remember the question.
Because I was about to really make fun of you again.
Yeah,
so
no,
you're good now.
I'm on top of it.
Okay.
Okay, I was having this conversation with someone yesterday. If If Batman and Iron Man were to get into a fight, yes, with preparation, that's important.
You're going to be banned from questions after this.
That's a great question.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I'm kidding. I'm messing with you.
That's a great question. Okay, who is winning?
Batman, repeat the question for him.
If Batman,
okay,
and Iron Man.
Batman and Iron Man are fighting.
Yeah.
No teams. It's no just teams, them. Just, yeah. And they have preparation to prep for the fight. There's a right answer.
There's a right answer?
There is indeed.
Okay. Well, this sounds opinionated, but yeah. Okay, we'll go with this. Okay, we'll see what he says.
I have to go with Iron Man a little bit. I know. I just think, didn't he also figure out an end game, time travel, so he could...
Isn't he dead? Like,
yeah, but I know. But yeah. I mean, he figured it out. So if this is pre-ending,
yeah, okay, gotcha. But like, he died.
He could maybe before he realizes, I messed up. He could just back it up and try again. Ooh, that didn't work. Just back it up. And
so, and I just want to say about Batman. Okay, so if Batman was born destitute and poor, he would just be working at managing a grass station right now, right? His superpower is wealth, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more of a Superman than a Batman.
I am too, and Superman Batman might be the worst movie ever made, yeah, because here's my problem with that movie. I hate to get off on a tangent. Here's my issue. Seriously, okay, they make it the one thing that can hurt Superman, right, is kryptonite. But in the movies, they make it I'm gonna stop by Chevron. I'm gonna get $10 worth of gas. I'm getting some sweet tarts and give me 3 ounces of Krypton. They make it like it's that easy to get.
Right.
It's not like it's supposed to be really hard because it's his only weakness.
Yeah.
He would. I mean, it's not terrible anyway. All right. So give us the right answer.
In Batman versus Superman, Batman wins.
We shouldn't. But okay.
Superman almost has every single power.
Yeah, of course.
Iron Man has no powers.
Well, Batman has Krypton. I mean, Kryptonite. That's the one thing. That's the only thing. He gets it. He's probably picked it outside when he was walking to his car.
So he can beat a person who has no powers.
Huh?
No type. He's just a human.
He's ordinary. I get it. Yeah. I agree with you. And not very good, and probably my least favorite super. I think Robin's better. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Wow, I won't go all the way there.
Last question.
Can't follow you there.
That's good stuff. I love talking to this. This is good stuff. Last question. All right, so you got the money. You could buy and purchase any car you want. A dream car. What would you get?
My gosh, I don't know. I really don't.
You could say 72 Barracuda. That'd be interesting.
No, I think if I, and it's going to be funny who hears this, and because I always joke about it, but I'd probably buy my dad his old 64 GTO. He had back in the day, he had a 64 GTO that he loved and talked about, and I never got to see it. I think I saw one picture of it or something like that. So I'd probably buy him that car. I've always had a dream of wishing I could track down the actual car,
yeah,
and restore it and give it to him or something like that. So I'd probably do something like that. I like cars and trucks, but
it's not just like you don't. Yeah,
no,
you
know, I don't know. I kind of passed the point of need. I get something that gets from A to B. If you look at that car outside,
yeah,
it's so I don't know. I don't know what I would buy me because
okay, that sounds fair.
Probably, F-150. Just keep it simple.
All right. Okay.
Maybe King Ranch it or something. Just
simple man.
Simple man.
There you go.
Simple man.
Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. We'll try to get you back on again, and hopefully we'll see you. I know we see you at some events from time to time. We're always going to be there doing our thing. And unfortunately, Jordan was here tonight, but it is what it is, and we learned from that. So go home song. Jordan, you want to pick the go home song?
Can it be Copacabana? That was a really quick answer to
her. I hope this would be the last time that Jordan's allowed on the set of Chamber. You want to go Copacabana?
I do.
Okay, what version? Who you got singing it? Is it the Barry Manilow? Doesn't Barry Manilow exist? Seems like this would be you picking Barry Manilow singing Copacabana.
Is that the main dude?
The guy that sang it.
Well, yeah. Main dude, Barry Manilow. I don't know if I'd say that, but yeah. But okay, there you go. I cannot believe that we're going to end on this song, and I can't believe I let Jordan do this. I feel so bad. But thank you so much for joining Chamber Chat. And until we meet again, I hope you enjoy Copacabana by Barry Manilow. We're out.